There's so much that we need to cover this evening, and then we are going to have some ministry time in which we will just touch and use that as a point of contact for what God needs to do in all of our lives as His people. Amen? One of the things that we need to settle as we talk about prayer is this, that God is a God who answers prayers. Someone say, God answers prayers. Say it again, God answers prayers. Now say, God doesn't answer all prayers. You say, why? Because He only answers prayers that are according to His will. According to His will. In other words, God has a will. Let thy will be done where? In the earth as it is in heaven. So there is a will of God in heaven. Amen? God has a will in heaven. A testament in heaven. A plan, a purpose. Something that has been worked out and finished in heaven. How many of you know that the tabernacle in heaven was already complete before God said to Moses, build a tabernacle? Amen? And He built it according to the pattern of that which was already in heaven. It was in agreement with that. Now the prayer of agreement, if any two of you shall agree concerning anything, it shall be done. The greatest prayer of agreement is not the prayer between you and I praying about something. It's the prayer between you in connection, in agreement with God. Can you comprehend that? That the greatest prayer of agreement is a prayer that is in agreement with what God's will is. Praise God. Praise God. So let us start this evening by going to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to read the first three verses, and then we're going to skip right through to verse 14. The Word of God says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ or is the anointed one is born of God. If you believe that Jesus is a Christ, you are born of God. Now, why is that important? Stick with that verse, but now come with me to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, somebody came to the Lord. You remember his name? His name is Nicodemus. And the Bible says that this Nicodemus in verse 2 says the same Nicodemus that is named in verse 1. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, watch this, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these what? Miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. He cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Why is that important? It's important because Jesus, our Lord, told us that whatever miracles that he saw performed because he saw what the Father was doing. So for us to see the kingdom of God and see what God is doing, which is the will of God, are you with me so far? We got to be born, what? Again. Amen? That means we must not see with our natural eyes. We've got to see with spiritual eyes that peer into the things that God is doing in the heavenlies. Because whatever it is that we see manifested here in the earth was first made out in the heavens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. Whatever it is that you see here in the earth was first in the heavens. Let me say it again. Whatever you see here in the earth, I don't care whether it is done by God or by man, it was first in heaven. So the Bible tells us that God rides a chariot. He flies with, he has his own private jet. Before man had the idea to have anything in the earth realm, it was first in the heavens. There is nothing that happens here that is not in the heavens. The thing is that sometimes natural man is able to see things that we don't see. It's called imagination. He desires to see something and, maybe this is this. And he goes in that direction. And sure enough, he gets it. He gets it by much struggle. Trial and error. Until, voila. Eureka. We got it. It's happened. And we are all excited about it, and it is magnificent. But everything man is trying to do is already in the realm of God. Amen? Man today is pursuing how you can think as fast as a computer. They want to put a chip inside of you so that you can operate in the cloud. And they want to go to the extent where they put everybody's mind in the cloud so that we can do certain things and then go to the place where we all become like one person. They're trying to find eternal life so that you can just die physically, but you continue to live in the cloud. That is what man is trying to do. He's trying to imitate God, but the devil is a liar. Amen? Where did he get the idea from? It's the idea that is floating in the realm of the spirit. If you look at what man is trying to accomplish, and you look at your Bible, you say, one is done by the spirit, and the other is being done by the flesh. But you know that everything that is done in the flesh shall all perish. That which is done in the spirit shall last forever. Amen? So let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. You got to see in the spirit. You got to be born again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the deliverer, the redeemer, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Who is he that begat? God. Everyone that loveth him that begat, meaning God who begat, who birthed us, also will love the one that is begotten of him, meaning that we will get to love each other. Amen? Now, the greatest antidote to answered prayers is, yes, unforgiveness, but it is ultimately the lack of love. Why is that? Remember, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Yes? True? We are in agreement on that? Okay. So faith cometh. And if you're going to pray the prayer of faith that's going to bring healing to the sick, we said this morning that it is based on you hearing what God is saying, what the will of God is. But how does faith work? The Bible says faith worketh by what? Love. So your faith cannot accomplish anything without the presence of love. Amen? So the word of God starts out, if you're born again, you're going to have to be somebody who loves. That makes sense? Verse 2, watch this. By this we know that we love the children of God when we what? Love God and do what? Keep his commandments. Keep his words. Mama was reading to us today, this morning, from Revelation chapter 2 about the Nicolaitans. Guess who they are? The Nicolaitans were the first preachers of grace. The kind of foolish grace that has been preached in the church. And God said, I hate that. Because it's a message that does not bring about a sense of responsibility, a sense of belonging to God and being separated unto God, energized by God to live the life of victory. Amen? So he goes on. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his what? Commandments. He said, okay, it's not some gooey stuff. Oh, I love you. You know, he says, keep my commandments. That's how I know you love me. I am very glad that you shouted seven hallelujahs. I'm so excited that you're fasting so much. I'm so excited by the fact that you want to pray. But do you love me? And if you love me, you're going to have to keep my commands. And his commandments are not what? Grievous. They are not burdensome. They are not irksome. They are not overweighty, he says. And verse 4, watch this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh what? The world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It overcomes the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the what? The world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the what? The world. Who is born again of God? The devil? Who? Me, you. So, if you are the one born of God, and it says, and this is the victory, he is not only saying faith is the victory, he is saying, watch this, and I'm going to build to this in just a moment. He's saying to us that this victory, which is faith, is you that is born of God, because you were born by the Word of God. Remember when we talked about the Word and that you are Word made? You were manifested by the manifestation of the Word of God. When God breathed into you and you became a living soul, he breathed his Word inside of you. So you are a manifestation of the Word. You, the Bible says, you are Scriptures walking. The Scripture, you have become one with the Word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you with me so far? All right. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But who is our faith? I said it's you. But our faith is Jesus himself. Guess what? When you receive them, the Bible says you died. To be born again, you have to die, and Jesus has to come in. Agree? We're in the same page? You died, and Jesus came in. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have exchanged places with him. I am out and he is in. You got that so far? All right. Now, let's skip on to verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence that we have in him, in God, in the Christ, that if we ask anything according to his, shout it, shout it louder, according to his, according to his will, he heareth us. In essence, if we are not asking according to his will, He doesn't hear us. Oh, but what does that mean? He says, it is not that my eyes are blind or my ears deaf or my hand short. It is your sin that has separated you from me. Oh, wait a minute. The word of God says, whatever is not done on the basis of faith is what? Sin. Are we still together? We're on the same page. I don't want to lose anybody in the boonies. Amen? I know you know these things, but I have to make sure that you got it. Because I don't want it to end up here. I want it to be in here, deep within you, that you see your oneness with God, your oneness with the Word, your oneness with faith, your one. Because when you come to this place, you and faith are the same. You and the Word are the same. You and God are the same. There's no separation. That's where God wants to take you and I. The place of maturity, where God wants to take you and I to, is that place where when we stand in a place, God is standing in that place. Because remember, you're dead. And He's the one living inside of you. And therefore, if He's the one living inside of you, then He's the one moving inside of you and moving with you. Does that make sense? Because you're dead. And He's the one moving. So if He's the one moving, wherever your body is, there He is. But it is not you. It is Him. So when I say, when we come to that place, to the right place of understanding what God is talking about, when I come, Jesus is there. God is there. Now the connection of my spirit, man, to that reality is what gives me the impetus to speak the word of decree. Remember what we started out this morning with, that prayer is you making declarations because you know something, something that God has declared to be true. Somebody shout hallelujah. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Verse 15. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We know that we have it. It's done. I can be relaxed. I can rest in that goodness of the Lord and be at peace. Amen? Hallelujah. So far we know that we have to pray the prayer of confidence, the prayer of faith. And the Word of God says that we need to pray. When we pray, we need to pray with expectancy of knowing that we're going to receive what we're praying about. But then it says to us in James chapter 4 and verse 3. James chapter 4. James 4 and verse 3. He says, ye ask and receive not. So the issue is not the asking. He said, you ask, but you did not receive. Why? Because ye ask amiss. You ask amiss. You ask kakos. Is the Greek word. Kakos. That means you asked improperly. You ask badly. You ask bad. You miss the mark. You didn't ask properly. You ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your what? Loss. Oh. Asking amiss is asking so that I can have stuff for me. Interesting. But is that not the reason why I pray? So I can get stuff for myself? And God says, wrong. Whatever it is you are asking for, ask so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. I saw something recently, if you can believe this. I saw an orange tree that was eating its own orange. You believe that? If you believe that, I have a nice plot to sell you in the moon. Fruit is meant to be eaten by somebody else. You're not fulfilling your purpose if you are not being plucked. Stop complaining when people are plucking on you. That's the reason you're sweet. That's why they're plucking. That's why they want to eat something. Because the fruit of your life is meant to be a blessing to others. When you seek the anointing of God, the power of God to be manifested in your life, it's not so that you can puff up and be proud and arrogant and say, look at me. Your anointing is useless if it is not out there touching somebody else's life. That means you're going to have to sacrifice. Sacrifice. Giving of yourself to make somebody else make it, to make somebody else succeed. God has his hand on your life, and you're not sacrificing of yourself, of your time, of your resources to make somebody else make it. What's the reason for you? God says, you ask and receive not. You're just there trying to get stuff to consume it upon your own selfish desires. Your own selfish desires. It's about me, myself, and I. That's another reason why you don't get an answer to prayer. You've got to ask yourself when you're praying, is this prayer just about me, myself, and I? Oh God, bless me, bless my family, the three of us, the four of us, the five of us, and no more. Is that it? Well, sorry. You have a long journey to travel. Somebody else can pray for you and say, God, bless this man or bless this woman, and do extraordinary things in their lives, and God jumps on it. Have you ever been in a situation where you pray for somebody and God just answers just like that, but you are still praying for yourself and nothing is happening? Anybody? They have a headache and just say, in Jesus' name, I command it. Oh, the headache is gone. But your headache has turned out to be a migraine, and now you're thinking, maybe I've got a brain tumor. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. You're just about yourself. Now, the Word of God says we should pray for ourselves. If you are afflicted, you pray. But it's not about something consuming stuff about yourself. Why do you want to be healthy? I want to be healthy because I want this body to do what God wants it to do, and I cannot accomplish it sick. It is about your kingdom. When you are kingdom focused and kingdom centered, God responds to you. Anything that happens to you is a big deal with God. So we've got to learn how to be unselfish. Learn how to give of ourselves and our time into the lives of others. The next verse says that when we don't do that, it says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What does Romans tell us about that? It tells us that that person is a carnal-minded person. You've heard me say this before, but maybe some of you have not heard me say this. There are no carnal Christians. You cannot be a Christian and be carnal at the same time. And God did not born you into carnality. When you were born again, you were born again perfect. And you were born from above. And when you were born from above, the Word of God says, every good and perfect what? Gift. Cometh from the Father of lights. You know, this light here is shining for itself, right? No. The light shines so that we benefit from it. Your life as a believer is to bring benefits to other people's lives. Everything about you should be bringing something into another person's life so that because of you, their life gets better. My life before you should cause your life to be better. Your life before me should cause my life to be better. Amen? That makes sense? These are the natural things that cause us to come to the place of supernatural fruitfulness in God. Let's go a little bit further. The Bible tells us in Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 that when we pray, we should pray in the Holy Ghost. But see how it started in verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How does that happen? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What does that mean? If you love me, keep my what? Commandments. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That is a passion. You're keeping the commandments, so you blew it. That's where mercy comes in. Because God sees you doing. You cannot fail at anything if you're not trying. Hello? Can you fail at something if you were not trying? If I were not trying to walk, I cannot fall. If I weren't driving, I cannot have an accident. At least, you understand the percentages. You know, somebody can be driving and come and hit you. That's a different story. But the fact is, if you're not trying, you don't get into certain messes. So God says that there's mercy available. If we blow it, we have an advocate. If we blow it, there is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. All of that is available in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go further. Let's go further and let's look at the one that we're supposed to pray to. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. If you can give me that quickly. Matthew 6, 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to who? Pray to who? Thy Father, which is in what? Secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward thee openly. So who do we pray to? We pray to Jesus. It says to the Father. Amen? You pray to the Father, but you do it in the name and the authority given to you in Jesus' name. Verse 18. John 6 and verse 18, or Matthew 6, 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, that's something that's related to praying, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall do what? Reward thee openly. John 15 and verse 16. John 15, 16. Hear what the word of God says to us here. John 15, 16. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Amen? And that your fruit should what? Remain. That whatsoever ye ask the Father of the Father in my name, he may what? Give it you. He may what? give it you. He says, you go, be fruitful. In other words, be a blessing. So that when you ask the Father will respond to you. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to me? What I'm saying is that the key to answered prayer is you being a blessing to other people, loving people. You cannot be expecting any answers from God when you are walking in hate, walking in bitterness, walking in strife, walking in confusion. God is not there. If you get an answer while you're walking in hate and in bitterness and unforgiveness and you're getting answers to prayers, pray very well for yourself because you've gone too far. The devil is about to hang you. You understand? You're about to be hung. You are on a death path because God's word already told you what you need to do for you to have answered prayers. Am I reading the right scriptures? Am I saying anything out of place here? There's no argument. Because if there's an argument, we have to have you go and discuss it with God. But notice it makes a statement that he may give it you. He may give it you. He may give it you. Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Is that what it said? May. It didn't say will. Why is that? Because the discretion is ultimately God's. And if you've heard me say it many times before, I'll say it again. God may very deliberately disappoint you. You ask him for something, you've done everything right, and still he does nothing. Lazarus, your friend, is sick. And the Bible says, Jesus loved Lazarus but stayed where he was. And then Lazarus died and then he started coming. Why are you coming now? The guy is dead. He's stinking. I am the resurrection and the life. Is it because with God, when he disappoints you, he shows you that he can do things past the point of disappointment. You understand? When you think all is lost, God says, really? Voila! Why did you wait this long? I decided. Do you still love me? Do you love me when I disappoint? Because when you disappointed me, I loved you. That's the seed I sowed into you, and that's the fruit I'm going to have to get from you. So at one point or the other, God may not sound like he's a good God. But you just got to love him anyway. Praise the Lord. God, you love me? How come this bad thing happened to me? Do you still love me in spite of it? Yeah? Okay. Well, now let me show you something. But you're going to go through it. Maybe not once. Maybe not two times. Maybe not even 10 times in your life. Actually, at different stages of your spiritual growth, you are going to go through that experience where God doesn't show up the way you think he should. But at the end of it all, you will celebrate if you love him and keep his word. Amen? Now let me take you just a little bit deeper yet, and then we're going to start praying. John 15, 16, we've read that. Now, John 16 and verse 23. John 16 and verse 23. And in that day, he says, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Who are you asking? The Father. In my name, he will give it you. Watch this. You ask the Father in my name, he will give it what? You. Wait a minute. Why didn't he just simply say he will give you? Why is it saying it? Now, the it is in italics, meaning that it's added. But it's added here because of what the Greek is stating. It is necessary to put the it here. But why is it? Because this is what God is trying to say. When you and I become one with him, and we begin to pray, and we begin to declare, he gives it you in the sense that he presents you to declare what needs to be done in that particular situation, because God, all power in heaven is his, but in the earth, he has given you authority to have reign and control. Hello? Did I lose you? In the earth realm, God has infused into you great authority to speak on his behalf. When man was in the sin, it did not say God said, let there be. It says, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone, and he brought animals to him, and whatever the man called it, that was the name of it. God gave authority to the man to declare his purposes. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that is very, 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 very heavy. That principle, oh my, how do I say this to you so I don't throw you off the track? Okay, let me put it this way to you. That's why you must, what I'm about to say to you is very important. That's why you must not know any man just based on signs and wonders, but based on the fruit of their lives, the way they're carrying themselves, how they are dealing with people. You cannot say, I have the anointing of God, and be abusive to people. That makes you very suspect. Because, you see, when you hear somebody preaching or doing miracles, and they say, in the name of Jesus, it may not necessarily be the name of Jesus that we're talking about, this Christ. It may be some idolatrous demonic force that they have given the name of Jesus to. And it is in the name of that demonic spirit that they are operating. You are hearing the name of Jesus, but they are not talking about the Jesus you're talking about who died. The authority to speak. That's why you've got to look beyond the natural and move in the realm of the spirit. That's why you must be absolutely discerning. In this last of the last days, not everything that people are saying is what they are saying. You've got to look beyond that natural. Because when, if they called this chair, and that chair was the demonic spirit that they are operating by, and they called it Jesus, when they say, in the name of Jesus, they're talking about their demonic spirit. And things happen, but the life of the man and what the name of Jesus don't correspond. The guy just finished preaching and he's sleeping with every woman and every dog around. And then miracles are still happening. It's the devil. Hello? That makes sense? You look at me very quiet. You got to know what you believe and why you believe it. Ultimately, God, if you find a man who is about You cannot get anything happening in your life without me. We've got another thing going here. Because ultimately, every man of God must teach you on how you can be what God says you are. God, all nature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, not of one person. It's not about me. It's not about Mama. It's not about Pastor Sunday or Pastor Daniel or Pastor Henry or anybody else. It's about Him. Hallelujah. If you start seeing us, just dwelling on us and what spirit is this? Well, guess what? When you have the right spirit, demonic force is recognized. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? There's a grace that comes upon your life. And when God wants to answer prayers, He's going to use you. He's going to use you to prophesy. He's going to use you to declare decrees. He's going to use you to declare His divine will here in the earth as it is in heaven. And that's where every one of us must line ourselves up to. God, open our eyes to be in alignment with what you are doing. So, Father, that I may speak righteously over the things that I need to do here in the earth. And let me say this, and I'll stop here. But understand us as ministers of the gospel, and understand this. If you call me on the phone and tell me, Pastor, this problem is happening, I need you to come here and pray, or just tell me a problem or whatever, and in the natural, you expect me to move from where I am to go to where that problem is and pray for that particular person or deal with that particular situation, but I don't show up. I don't come. It does not mean I'm not praying. It just means I have not heard a thing yet. And until I hear the direction of the Lord to go do certain things, I am not going to go there. Because sometimes you can go into a situation and you walk into a trap of the enemy. So why are you going to do that? If God is not with you on that particular situation, if you don't have a perspective of the heavenlies on the situation, why are you involved in it? Because you're going to fail. And the person's faith might most likely get damaged. Because you came, you did whatever it is that you needed to do, you prophesied, you whatever, and so on and so forth, and still got the bad result. Did you know what God said? Yeah. Now, I've been in situations where my heart is so drawn to a particular situation, and God has already told me what the solution or what the answer is going to be at the end, even before the problem showed up. And I've already started praying about it, and now the problem is here. And oh, I feel for these people. I got to go there. I want to change God's mind. You know, there are times when you can change God's mind. It has happened before. So you want to change God's mind, but you know this is an uphill battle. He knows what He wants to do, and you know that you know. If anything happens here and this reverses, this is extraordinary grace, extraordinary mercy. Now, why do I break your heart coming and jumping and running over everywhere, going here, doing that? Did Jesus not stay in one spot? So you've got to give each other a break. You've got to give me the break. And saying, you know, Pastor, this is the need, and I am praying that God shows you what to do in this particular situation. Let me know what you're going to do. If it is nothing, that is fine. But let God show you what needs to be done with this particular situation. Is that more freeing? Yeah? It's freeing for you. It's freeing for me. Now everybody can relax and wait for God's directives, because we know if God doesn't do it, nothing is going to get done. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ said himself, I've not done any miracles. It's the Father, he doeth the works. It has always been the Father. And now Jesus has brought us to tap into the benefit of being part of what the Father is doing. And I'm going to stop there tonight, and we'll pick it up as the Lord grants us the grace to do so. But for right now, I'm going to stand in agreement, Mama and I. We're going to stand in agreement with you, and whatever needs you have, we're going to say, God, let there be a revelation on what the actions or response must be concerning whatever it is that's happening here, so that we can get your results. We want to see what's happening in heaven as born-again people. Amen? And then you can be certain, I'm going to get the results I need. Praise God. You receive that? All right. Praise the Lord. Those of you who are listening online, I want you to, by faith, connect with us right now. While we begin to touch sons and daughters here, those of you who couldn't be here because you are maybe in Toronto or you're in Timbuktu or wherever it is that you might be, just join us in agreement and link into the power of surge that is going to go forth even now and begin to bring impartation, deliverance, healing, peace, whatever the answer is that God has for the sons and daughters that will be touching here. It will come to you right where you are. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to do this. We're going to put the offering, containers over on that side. And anyone who is coming, and if you've not given your offering, you just drop your offering inside the container, and we'll just touch you and pray the prayer of agreement with you. We've already prayed that prayer. We already believe that God will do for you what only he can bring about. But the Word of God says that we need to pray one for another. And so we're going to do that. The Word of God says, you're sick, you know, you could come to the elders and the prayer of faith shall be prayed and you receive your answer. And the sick shall be saved. Amen? Sozo. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're going to do now. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we should come boldly into the presence of God. And we're going to do that. As you come, come boldly. Come believing that the answer that you desire for yourself, for your family, for this church, for this calling, is coming to pass. And as you come, be reminded of this, that answered prayers is directly related to you walking in love. And walking in love means that you're giving of yourself to impact other people's lives. Praise God. You're doing your part. And when you are in the process of helping somebody else, God's help comes to you. Praise the Lord.